Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor Darren. Just want to give you some update of what's going on in Korea. So I just recently made a trip to Korea, and one of the big reasons why that I did that is that because I wanted to appreciate the missionaries that we are serving. So we have several missionaries, and I invite our own brother Tony to Korea and make him coming out of the Thailand a little bit and then really spend some time in Korea. And so I just want you to know that he really loved it. He came up there and he said, you know, I spent time with him and I become really close to him and I share the same room with him. Can you guys imagine that? And so, he wake up in the morning around like 5 o'clock and he started to pray for about 2 hours and seeking the Lord. And, you know, he told me this. He said, and he told other pastors, he said, you know, Pastor Hong, I just loved the Korea. It's not because of all the things that I see. I love the food and I love all those things. But one of the things that he loved most is everywhere he went, it was church everywhere. And when you see in Korea in the morning, everybody wake up, a lot of them are church Christians, and have early morning prayer. And he said this, he said, Pastor Hong, when I'm in Thailand, I cannot even pray for 10 minutes because there's so much oppression there. But when I woke up and when I start crying out before God, 2 hours wasn't enough. Because I felt the presence of God so powerfully there. So he really enjoyed it. And so one of the first places that we went, you guys know that Brother James Kang, who came and who has a school called ACA, the Lily, is a teacher of that place. And he went there, and he had, in that school, there's a 16 different nationality of the kids are there. And one of them is a Thai. And so he had a chance to go there and minister in that church. And, you know, you guys know that Brother Tony is half Vietnamese and half white. And you know, Brother James is half black and half Korean, okay? So they really, like, hit it off really well in that place. Okay, come on. Is the thing working? Okay. Okay, I guess it's not working yet right now. Okay, just a minute. Sorry. Technical difficulty. Here we go. I guess not. Okay. No, computer's freezed. Why is that? There we go. All right. Yeah, there we go. All right, so here is Brother Tony preaching in the ACA chapel. And then he also preached on Sunday. ACA also has their own church, so he also preached there on Sunday. So he was preaching, and he was able to minister to one of the Thai kids. And they just loved him, and he just loved to preaching there in that place. So also, Lily goes to a church called Life Together Church. It's actually all English-speaking church in Yonsei University area. And a lot of the congregations are MK. They are missionary kids. And so I saw some of the Koreans who speak fluent French because they used to go there as missionaries to France. And I mean, incredible variety of people. So Tony just fit right in. They just loved his message. And then after that, of course, there was a Korean food. And so the man right here, he was a missionary to Laos. And so Laos and Thai, they have a very similar language. So they're able to speak in Thai and able to really communicate. And so Tony had an incredible time. And he goes like, wow, I just couldn't believe it. You know, the food itself is so great, but people, fellowship was just fantastic. So he had that. You know, one of the great things about Brother Tony is everywhere he go, he's a truly evangelist. He says, this on subway, so he saw this brother, and he saw a man, and he said, do you speak English? He said, oh, yeah, yeah. And so he started talking to him, and, you know, and then ended up talking to him about the Lord. And so they become friends, and so we took a friend. And so, you know, even though he couldn't speak Korean, he was able to, whenever that he had a chance to communicate with people in English, he was really telling the people about Christ. So it was incredible. And so one of the things that we did was we attend some of the conferences, and they have a unification, I say unification church, unification a conference or school, that how we going to, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that what are we going to do when the North and South Korea unify? So we are actually preparing. The churches get together. They pray and study. And how are we going to do it when the unification happens? So Brother James Kang was the one of the speakers there. And we were there. This school happens at 6 a.m. in the morning. Korean love to wake up in the morning. So, and one of the things that he did was that Korea has a Taekwondo university. So it got huge campus. And so we actually went there, Taekwondo University. You guys know that Brother Tony is a kickboxer. He used to live after he was a professional kickboxer, right? And so when he said Taekwondo, he loved it. He was like, yeah, I got to be there, right? And so we took him there. And so we had, you told me this is a genuine, huge campus. And so we went there. Tony had a chance to, you know, show off, you know. And then, you know, we took a picture with all those Taekwondo demonstrators. And so he had a really incredible time there. One of the things that he did was he visited and preached in North Korean church. And so this Pastor Lim's North Korean church there. And then it was underground. So he was able to preaching the message, and I was interpreting there. And these North Korean ladies and come there and do the dance. You guys know, you know what this is? OCC. So Pastor Byun, who was here last time, he have his mission society, and he have this toy company donating tons of toys. He don't know what to do with. And I told him, I said, you ever heard about OCC? I said, yeah, I think I heard about it. I think Korea has that. Why don't you check it out, and why don't you connect with them, and why don't you donate the toys there? So that's what he did. So now Pastor Lim's church actually has the OCC going on because of our church who introduced to them. And so you could see that OCC in Korean right here. 선물 상자. Okay? And so, yeah, God is, you know, the things that we are influencing, the things that we are doing, you know, it's incredible what God is using us and doing that. So one of the things that we did was we did the missionary appreciation day. So we got all the missionaries got together, including Tony, and so we gave them bonus. So we gave them a certain amount of money that I raised and with our daughter Faith, and then we gave them the bonus. And then after that, about $250 per missionary, I told them this. I said, this bonus is not for your ministry. This bonus is for you taking your wife to a date, okay? And for your family, necessary. So I learned that from Pastor John. So, you know. And so they, I told them that, so please use it for your personal, okay? And so they love that. And then after that, we take them to the really nice restaurant. So I told Pastor Lim, I said, hey, I got a certain amount of budget, so take them to really nice restaurant, let's have a fellowship together. So that's what we did, and took them there. Yeah, so now we have new missionaries that I am going to bring, and she was one of my youth when I was planning a church in Korea. And so her name is China, literally. She has four siblings, and all four siblings named after Chinese city. And so it's the first one, Shanghai. I'm a Beijing, Shanghai, the brothers. And then she's China. And then the last one is Yonggil. So all of them is Chinese cities. And why? Because his father is missionary to China. She grew up in China for 7 years there. And so he had a heart for that. So now she has a ministry for third culture kids, a ministry. So she's actually ministered to the missionary kids in Korea. And so because she knows about the heartaches the missionary kids have to go through, all those things that they, the missionary kids have to go through in as a being in the grew up in a foreign field. But you know, she also said, Pastor, it was such an incredible blessing. Why? Because I was able to speak Chinese and Korean and English. Now she speaks three languages. And God had blessed her to understand cross-culturally around the world. And so, yes, there was a lot of pain, but God used that pain to make me what I am today. Amen? And so she is used, actually she will be a part of our ministry and to ministering to, like Tony has three children, you know, and I told Tony, I said, Tony, you know, why don't you bring some of your kids to Korea and be minister at, and so they could see outside of Thailand. And so they could be, you know, you don't stop at your generation for mission. Let your kids take over your mission. Let your kids be your disciple and let them see greater vision. And so that's the kind of visions that we have. And one of the things that Lord spoke to me was that China is only 24-year-old girl. And she went through the DTS and become a staff in DTS in Kona. And, you know, and she grew up. And God said, hey, you're getting old, son. So you need to raise up some young people who will take over your place. I said, yes, God. Thank God. No. But, yeah, so, yeah, she's coming in February. So she's going to be one of our speakers for the mission month. So I just want you guys to pray for her. So one of the reasons that, you know, I am really taking a chance to bring her in, but God really spoke to me and said, hey, you got to raise up the next generation and for the young people. So that's what I'm doing that. All right. So one of the things that we did in Korea is that we went to a DMZ tour. So one of the pictures that you guys see is North Korea. And so that's a tunnel that the North Korea dug. They found about five of them. And then from North to South Korea to invade. And that they discovered it in 1977. So Tony and we went and we visited and we had a tour there. Okay. And so one of the other things that they did was that Korea has a lot of foreigners that comes. And, you know, believe it or not, they have a Thai churches there, Vietnamese churches there, because a lot of Vietnamese and Filipino churches there, they got married to Koreans and they come over to Korea. And they even have a Pakistani churches there, I heard. So they got all those churches there. And so they got, so all those churches got together one day and so they have the, you know, what is it? The athletic competitions, and so they love soccer. And so Tony went to the sections where all the Thai people are, and so he's delivering the gospel to them. So this lady right here, she was in Vietnam, missionary to Vietnam, and now she has a Vietnamese church. And Pastor John and Pastor Moses actually went there, and we preached in their church last time. So he visited the palace. And so this is the old palace that Korea had. And so he visited there. And so he's showing off his kickboxing skills from all the people. So, yeah. So I just want you guys to know that because of your support and what God has doing through a door of faith, God is doing incredible things out there in the mission field. And this is just a small portion of what God is doing. And so, you know, keep on praying and keep on, you know, support us for the work of the Lord. And I really believe one of the things that I really want to do is I want to, on July, I want to bring a team into Mexico where our brother Oscar is. And so, you know, I want some of our kids to go with me down into Mexico. Amen? And so we're gonna have an incredible time together in there. So we are expanding our vision and our horizon, what God is doing. And, you know, I pray that our younger generation will get involved. And then we go into the mission and using the mission as a tool to go closer to God. And that's one of the biggest reasons that I wanted to do. So my message today, let's pray for now. for now. Father God, we just want to thank you. We praise and worship you, Lord God, in the name of the Lord. God, I pray, God, that you will speak to us, Lord God, and you will touch our hearts, Father God. As we thank you, Father God, what you have done in Korea, I pray, Father God, that, Lord, that you will, Lord, move upon our hearts and you speak to us, Lord God, through the message that I prepare. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. I just want to talk to you guys about, as we talk about mission and what God is doing, you know, I want to talk about a person named John the Baptist. And when you look at John the Baptist is the one that the great man that God has used. So when you one of the verse that I wanted to use here is the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 80. It says this, and the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he lived in a wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. What is so great about John the Baptist? Anybody know? John the Baptist, who is he? Well, number one, he's a cousin of Jesus. Isn't that right? Yeah, when you look at the book of Luke, actually Luke talks about John the Baptist much more in detail than any other place. Because he actually talks about John the Baptist's background. He said Elizabeth and Zechariah. And Zechariah went in to the Holy of Holies, and then there was a Gabriel there. Can you guys imagine that? Went into the temple, and then angel was there. Boom. And then Gabriel said this, God has heard your prayer. Okay, God, which one? I prayed a lot of things. And then he said this way. He said, God heard your prayer that you're going to have a son. What? Most likely, John the Baptist was really old. I'm not John the Baptist. Zechariah was really old back then. So the Elizabeth, they said, like, are you kidding me? Me and my wife going to have a child? God, I prayed this thing long time ago. Why are you answering me now? Can you guys imagine that? And some of you guys wonder, so like, why? Well, God have his timing. And one of the timing that God has was this, that God has timing for John the Baptist to be what? To be the one who prepared the way of Jesus. So the timing has to be right. It has to be the time that when Jesus has to be born. Another thing is this. If the young people have a child, that's not a miracle. It's kind of a natural thing. Isn't that right? But if the old people, if the Steve and Lana are going to have a baby, that's going to be a miracle. Isn't that right? Okay, I'm not going to look at that in that place anymore. Okay, all right. So you know what I'm saying? So, guys, so God wanted to be glorified. But one of the things that God has, and when I look deeper into that God has a greater plan than that in that direction. So let's talk about John the Baptist a little more. He said he was a cousin of Jesus. And one of the things that he did was what? He broke the 400 years of silence. Did you guys know that when you're looking at the history, from the time of Malachi, that was the last time God spoke to the Israelites. All the Jewish people acknowledged that. That's why they do not accept Apocrypha as the inspired word of God. Why? Because on that 400 years of the silence, that's when Apocrypha was written. Apocrypha is what? It's a good written historical fact, but it is not inspired word of God. Why? Because God didn't speak. That's not what I said. It was a Jewish scholar who said that. And it was 400 years of silence, and it was the John the Baptist who came out of the wilderness, and he broke the silence and said that thus saith the Lord. Amen? You know, I want you guys to understand this. Not every sermon and message that you might hear from God, but there is a time that God had prophetically speak through you. And God said, hey, this is the message for you guys. And I know some of you guys said, Pastor Long, I came to DOF and I heard the message of, you know, Pastor John and all those pastors. And it's like it was talking to me. That's a prophetical. You know, it could be some of the same words. He said, what did John the Baptist say? Did he say any complicated theological things? No. He said, repent. That's it. And everybody goes like, oh, and all the people in the world, in the Judea, start to come and start to listen to John the Baptist. He what? Broke 400 years of silence. And then what's the next thing that he did? He prepared the way of Jesus. Did you guys know that we are in the ministry of John the Baptist? John the Baptist prepared the way of Jesus on the first coming. But as a church, we need to prepare the way of Jesus for the second coming. Amen? And that's what we need to do. And that's our job as a church. It's like, tell people about Jesus, that he's coming. So we need to be right with God. We need to get saved and touched by God. So their heart will be ready for Jesus' second coming. And I want you guys to understand and know, he is coming. He is coming. I'm not going to tell you what date, because no one knows. And I am not going to be called as caught by saying that, okay? But he's coming. And I really feel it's very close. When I look at the technology and all those things, I say, like, oh my gosh. You guys know that when you go to Whole Foods is run by Amazon, right? You guys know that you don't have to use credit card to pay the things anymore? You just use your palm. They scan your palm. And then they said all your IDs and all your credit cards are attached to this scanning palm. You guys, I'm serious. Yeah. And I said, like, wow, this is just like what Jesus, the book of Revelation said. Right? There will be the mark of the beast. There will be on the forehead and your palm. That technology is here and is being used. And they don't even put a chip in there. Oh, that's old technology. They just read your capillaries. And I heard the capillary has just like a fingerprint. Every single people have their own capillary. It says how they read it, and they identify who you are. Wow. I want you guys to understand and know, we have obligation to be a John the Baptist, to do what as a church? To prepare the way of Jesus for a second time. Amen? So how did God prepare them? How did John the Baptist was prepared? Well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the mother's womb. Do you guys know? No one in the Bible actually has that other than John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Spirit in the mother's womb and recognized Jesus from the mother's womb. Wow. That tells you guys, the baby in the womb is a human being, able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have killed 64 million babies so far and said that's just a blob. That's not a human being. No, it's not. In a moment of conception, Bible is very clear that child has a soul and a spirit. And John the Baptist was that person. He said his parents had him in late age. And his parents died early and became orphaned and had to live in a desert adapted by essence. So this is the thing. The verse that I just read it to you in chapter 1, verse 80, what does it say? He said he went to the desert in early age and he was growing up there. A lot of theologians and a lot of people say this. He said John the Baptist's mom and dad died early. See, that's another purpose of God. Who made it that way? God did. Some of you might say, like, oh, you know, sometimes God created a scenario and situation for the greater purpose in our life. And, you know, for John the Baptist, mom and dad were too old to take care of him and passed away. So who did he pass away, taken care of by? He was took care of by what? A lot of historians and theologians say there is a group of people called essence who live in a desert. They are isolate themselves. They call them ultra-Pharisee. That's what I learned when I was in Bible college. And they adopted John the Baptist and took care of him. And that's when he went into the desert and he grew up there. I got our young people who are in the back. Would you guys like to grow up in the desert? Some of you guys could not stand it when you guys don't have your phone, right? You guys cannot stand it. I think we should disconnect all the internet in the church. During the service, what do you think? If we make maybe closest to as we can our sanctuary like a desert, maybe something might happen, Pastor Chang. What do you think? You know what I'm saying? So here is a child, a teenager, who went in and he was what? He was adopted by monks, most likely they are. And he was what? Growing up in the desert. There was no playground there. There was no, like, Chuck E. Cheese there. There is no, you know, all those, you know, fun factory there. It's the desert. You guys see, what's in the desert? Nothing. Maybe snake? Cactus? Nothing's there. Except what? The time you have a plan, your time, you spend time with Jesus. You know what's the problem with 21st century? We have too much distraction. You guys know that? And that's what Jesus did to John the Baptist. He put him into a place called desert. You guys know every people that God used, God somehow put him into the desert? Moses was in the backside of the desert for 40 years. 40 years. Oh my gosh. He went in there at age of 40, came out at age of 80. Hey, David was in the desert, chased like a rabbit, you know, by Saul. All those men of God, used by God, they were in the desert. And John the Baptist was an exception. He was in the desert. But what happened? What's that verse 80 said? He said, this child's spirit grow strong. That's how God prepared. We got too much distraction that we don't read the word of God. You know, some of my common question from my kids that I teach is, Pastor Wong, how do you know the will of God? How do you know which college that I should go? How do I know that which person that I need to date? How do I know that which job or major that I have to take? God doesn't speak to me. And I tell them this. I say, God will speak to you. If you wake up in the morning, you open up your Bible, and you spend time with God. Have some desert experience. Amen? God does not want us to shy away from you. He talks to you every day. You know what's the reason why that we cannot hear from him? It's because we don't want to hear from God. Pastor Peck came over here and said, I wanted to tell you one word. We need to be intentional. Amen? Guys, God wanted to hear from you. God wanted to talk to you. The problem is that we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional to open up the Bible and cry out before God. And when you do that every day, and when you start seeking God, you know what? There's a time that you could hear from God much more closer. You could start to hear the things that you couldn't hear before because you start to be sensitive to His Holy Spirit. He was in the desert. God was training him, preparing him, breaking the silence for 400 years for him to start to hear from God without distraction in the desert. What is a blessing, guys? We think in America, if we have a big car, man, that's a huge car. Okay, big car, it's a blessing. If we have a huge house, that look like Pastor John's house. You know, we have a house like that. It's like, wow. If you have pretty girls and handsome guys got together, like, oh, yes, I have a blessing. You know, that's not bad. It's not that God doesn't want you to have all these good things. But you know what? John lost his parents in early age. He had to live in a desert. He had to live with monk. But did you know that? That was his greatest blessing. Without his blessing, without for him to grow up strong in the Lord because of all those things that happened, He wouldn't be the John the Baptist that we know of today. Amen? I know this kind of message is not very popular. But you know what? This is biblical. You guys get into biblical. So, guys, coming close to God, no matter what it costs, how much are we willing to pay the price? Are you willing to be victim or victor? I heard this great message on Friday. So to Sister Lydia, she's right there. I just say, hello, Lydia. Everybody say, hello, Lydia. Yeah. So Sister Lydia was preaching an incredible message, and she was telling all the kids. He said, guys, and she was telling her a testimony. Lydia, can I share your testimony a little bit? Okay, thank you. All right. She was saying, hey, I came to the United States with a religious visa that had expired. And then mom and dad have to stay. And when I went, when visa got expired, when I had to go to college, it's like, how am I going to pay for this college? Even UH. It's like they don't accept any financial aid for a person who is not a resident or citizen. So she felt like, man, because of immigration system, whatever, I am victimized. So many of us feel that way. When things that happen like John the Baptist can say, I am victimized. It wasn't my choice that I was born through these old parents who have to die off early, so I become orphan. It wasn't my choice that I have to go to desert and adopted by these monks and have to live there. I am victimized. Maybe some of you guys will say that. I am victimized. I have to live in Hawaii because my wife won't like Hawaii, so I cannot move anywhere else. But I got to live here in Hawaii. I am victimized. I could say it that way. And I wanted to go somewhere in the mainland where this housing is much cheaper and all those things, right? And I could live there and I could go to Washington, D.C. and like pastor a church that's a bilingual and everything else. But God wants me to stay in Door of Faith. I used to come over here because I like Pastor John, but, you know, I don't like him that much anymore. And so, you know, I'm here because of Door of Faith. God wants me to stay here. I am victimized by staying here. Or I could say, I am victor because I'm following God's will. Amen? And I wanted to do the things what God said. And Lydia said this. He said, hey, I'm here because mom and dad say it's will of God for us to stay here and plant a church. And I didn't know what I'm going to do to pay up. And so she said she, you know, applied for all the scholarships. There's one scholarship who gave a person who's not citizen or resident. They only pay half though. So she was, instead of being victimized, she was praying and seeking God. And every single year, like she said, first year, Fun Factory said, he said, hey, we pay for the rest that we have. And every single year, somebody came along and pay off that rest of the half. And she graduated in UH 3 years, not four, 3 years. And God made her what she is today. I said, I look at the lady and Sam, I said, like, wow, I hardly can find a young person like that, people like that in our generation, because God put them into the desert, place called Hawaii, and making a very irony of the status. It's like, oh, my God, God, why have to go through all these things in foreign land? But God started to bring them together and folding them into the place where God wants them to be. So we have a blessing of their ministry today. Brother Sam and Sister Lydia. And no debt. Did you guys know that Lydia don't have debt? No debt. All those kids who graduated from college, they got debts like crazy. You know that? All my children have no debt. They all graduated from college. And you know, Ben is the only one who graduated from the Army College and, you know, no debt. Actually, they paid him going through it. So, guys, you guys all, we just went through the election, right? You guys, I know some of you guys are heartbroken when President Trump lost the second term. And you wonder why. And all the prophets were prophesizing, yes, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Ah! And then I was like, oh, this is too good to be true. I don't know. These Democrats, I tell you, they got something under their sleeve. And sure enough, they did. And then it's like, oh, God, where is your will? He went through horrendous time in the 4 years. They did not leave him alone. You guys know the whole deal about lawfares and, you know, all those things. But I know, and he even got shot. You guys know that? He could have died like that. But somehow, some way along the way, God saved him. And after he got elected, we understand two things. How corrupt our system is that we didn't know. Another thing is this, that God has forged President Trump for such a time as this and going to use him for the greater measure. I really believe that. Because our system is a lot more corrupt than you think. And we need a person that who's strong enough that understand, not just for us to be living in a prosperous nation. That's not the purpose. The purpose is what? So we could prolong our time a little bit more as the United States. So we could be the one who could be strong in the Lord, able to preach the gospel all over the world. Amen? God bless South Korea. Not because of K-pop. Oh, my God. All you guys who's listening to K-pop, God help you. Okay? That demonic, you know, music that they got. Not because of those things. God didn't bless them because of taekwondo. God blessed them because those missionaries who came to Korea to sacrifice their life. You know, when I was planning a church there, I visited many churches near the DMZ. And I told them, I asked them, how did this church was created? And so those old elders were telling me the story. He says, this my pastor planted a church with a tent. And they need to build a building. He was praying and seeking God. And there was a knock on the door. And he said, and when he opened the door, there was American colonel, army colonel. And so with his broken English, he was like, and he was asking the pastor, he said, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I was passing by this tent, and Holy Spirit spoke to me that I need to stop here and knock on this door. Is there anything that I can do for you, Pastor? And then pastor said, you know, I plant a church here. We need to build a building, but I have no money. And I need help. And the colonel starts to smile. And he goes, I'm a colonel of the engineering brigade. I'm going to bring all my people and all the bulldozers and all those things next weekend. And I'll give you a foundation and I'll give you some of the buildings and your congregation come and finish it up. I want you guys to understand and know. There was a lot of Christian soldiers who came to America, to Korea. And help out build the churches. That wasn't just one story. There was a couple of stories throughout the whole DMZ areas. And people, their church was built. And because of some of the American soldiers who was Christian, came over there, led by the Holy Spirit, and able to help those people. America is only good because we as Christians are here. Amen. And you know, some of the persons say this. I know Pastor John was talking about last time that I said that David Wilkerson said this nation going to be destroyed. This is what one of the theologians said. He said, nation of America will be destroyed because of rapture. Why? Can you guys imagine? When I look at, I don't know about Trump's status and spiritually, but when I look at all those Trump's cabinet members and all those, like Peter Hicks said, and all those guys, Do you guys know they're all Christians? Do you guys know the major things that are going on in the United States right now, holding down by all the righteous things that are going on right now, is holding down by Christians. So when the rapture happened, all those Christians doing the most important work in the United States will be gone. And when that happened, this nation will be destroyed. Can you guys imagine? I mean, the 4 years in the Biden administration. Guys, they opened the southern border and everything else. Thank God some of the righteous people keep on fighting in the 4 years. But can you imagine, even though we are here, in the 4 years, it got almost destroyed. Can you imagine when we are all gone? Rapture will be the one that will destroy this nation. I said, praise God. We finish our work and we'll fly away and then tribulation will happen. Amen? So guys, get ready for rapture. Amen? Get ready for, so let's make, let's go out and tell people as hard as we can to prepare the way of the Lord for second time. And when we do that, and we will have this glorious time. Hey guys, Jesus loves us and he has a plan for us just like the John the Baptist. And sometimes things will happen. It's not coming our way. Sometimes it might be hard. Some of you kids, he said, I could have born in better family. I could have born in better. You could be victim or you could be a victor. And he said, I'm going to be a John the Baptist. It doesn't matter what situation that I'm in and what place that I'm in born. I'm going to make the best out of it. And I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. And when you do that, God's going to use you to be a victor, and people around you will become victor in the name of God. Amen? Amen. Can we all stand? Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Quick, can you play something? I just wanted to, before we finish, can we just pray for each other? Pastor John's mentioning so much about what church is, our accountability, our as a community. I am so thankful that we have Door of Faith community. I am so thankful that we have our pastors around here. I'm so thankful for you guys, that God has blessed you guys to be part of this family, this community. So can we just love on each other? Can we just lay hands on people? As the Holy Spirit is leading you, I want you to go someone. Just lay hands on that person. And let's just pray for that person. Can we just do that? And say, ask the Lord. Say, God, touch that person, Father God. Move upon that person right now, Lord God, in the name of the Lord. Yes, Jesus. You are so good. You are so powerful, Lord God. Help us, Father God. The process, though, Lord God, we are going through. Lord God, we will trust that process, Father God. We'll trust, Father God, that, Lord God, even though you are leading us to desert, even though you might leading us to the hard places, Father God, we trust that process because it's you, Father God. Because you have done incredible things, Father God. You're preparing us to be the John the Baptist. Help us, Father God. Help us to be the man and woman of God who will be touched by you, Lord. Karabara kashandara bababakasiki. Torabadiya kashandara badiyasiki. God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep on praying, but I just want to close it with a prayer right now. And I just want to let the Lord take over. Father God, we just want to thank you. We thank you for the message, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for our congregation, our brother and sister in this place. Lord God, we thank you, Father God, for the koinonias, the fellowship that we have. They're able to share the blood of the Lamb and able to share your broken body, Father God. Lord God, we are, Lord God, more closer than brothers, Lord God, natural brothers and sisters. Why? Because we share you, Father God, in the midst of this. God, help us, Father God, to be the one who understands each other, to love one another, and know that, Father God, Father, people will know that we are your disciple because we love each other. God, I ask you, Lord God, as we pray for each other, that, Lord God, you will answer their prayer. You will bring them, Father God, in a place of the wilderness, that where they will be closer to you. You will touch them. You will revive and reveal to them the greater things than ever before. God, we love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray.